1 John chapter 4. We'll read two verses here from this passage, verses 9 and verse number 10. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God." Manifested, of course, means to be made known. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means the satisfaction of a debt, the appeasement, the covering, the propitiation for our sins. Yes, Jesus indeed is the satisfaction of our debt, the covering of our sin. Thank God for God's matchless love. Matchless love. This morning, that will be the title of our message. We're going to talk about the love of God for a little bit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your great love. Thank you for so willingly giving your Son that I might be saved. That we, who have called on your name, who've trusted you by simple faith, can be saved. Without you, we would be lost and damned. But with you, we have a glorious hope, a glorious future, and your grace each day to strengthen us even through the challenges we see in this sin-corrupted world. Father, thank you. I pray you would bless our time. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have liberty to work. I pray that you'd work in hearts of each one gathered in this congregation this morning and those who tune in online, that they also would be encouraged and would sense the love that God has for them in their lives. And if there is someone who knows not Jesus as their Savior, that today they would turn to Jesus, that they would receive the love that you have shown to us, shown to them, that they would be saved even today. That is your will. Today is the day of salvation. And so we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Matchless love. Oh yes, that the Father would send his Son to be the Savior of the world. I have here the wonderful verse from the Gospel of John. One that we all really should know quite well. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, thank God for that great pinnacle of truth in God's word. God so loved. God so loved. I am so thankful that God loved. You see, God is not just the source of love. He is the epitome of love. That's why it's matchless love. You will never find a greater love than God has shown to us. For he is the very fountainhead of love. He's the source of the spring from which love flows. He who knows God knows love. He who does not know God cannot fully understand love, cannot fully grasp love. Matchless love. As we think about the suffering of our Savior, almost every day of our life, we should consider his suffering. But even at this season, when we think of his life that he gave and how he was so mistreated and abused, our God, our Savior, loving us, giving his life for us. I think this morning about the love of God, and and this great verse of John 3:16. First of all, God so loved. Is there any greater declaration? Anything greater than the statement that God so loved the world? How could we ever exhaust this statement, the love of God? God is love. 1 John 4 verse 16 tells us, God is love. And God has loved you. God has loved you. You know, every day of our life, we should remember the love of God. God loves you. God loves you, each of you. God cares so much about you. Praise the Lord for His love. His love in creating us. You know, God could have chosen to never make you, and you wouldn't be here. On hard days, you might say, like perhaps Job said, you know, he wished he'd never been born. He cursed the day that he was born. In one portion of Scripture, it's recorded. But you know what? That wasn't true, was it? Through the hardest trials of life, God is still good. Through the hardest suffering we can face, we ought to still thank and praise God. I'll tell you what, because God is good. In the time, in the point of a trial, in that season of suffering, we might be tempted to not only question, but to blame God or to accuse God of not being good or not being loving. But we don't see the whole picture. We don't see the whole picture. Oh, look at the Psalms and Psalm number 8, if you would. Turn over in your Bible to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, beginning with verse number 3. Psalm 8 and verse number 3, the Bible says here, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Have you ever stepped out in a clear night sky and looked into the sky, looked into the heavens, and seen all of those beautiful stars that God has put there? And the moon that shines so brightly. Oh, I remember not too long ago just gazing at those stars, seeing the belt of Orion, identifying the Big Dipper, and marveling at the vastness of God. That we cannot even, with our technology and power, we can't even get, fly ourselves to those one of those stars. They are just so incredibly far away and great. And yet God made the stars also, Genesis 1 says. Oh, our great God. But you know what? Not only did He make the stars, the moon, and the work of the heavens, it says, is thy from thy fingers, verse 3. But look at verse 5. Thou hast made man here a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. What is man? You know what? God loves you. God loves you. And this creation that he has made is our home to live in and have dominion over this planet, this universe. And you and I are created in the very image of God. We are not just another beast of the field. We're not just another, of course, we aren't a fowl of the air, nor can we fly without some real mechanical and powerful technology. But you know what? We are not an animal. We're not a plant. As majestic as many plants God created are, we are not one of those. We are created in the image of God exclusively. What is man? A wonderful creation. God so loved the world. He created us in love. He loved us in our sin. Look at Romans 5. over here to Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse number 6. Romans 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, when we were in weakness, when we were helpless, in due time, at the right time, in perfect timing, Christ died for the good people." Right? Is that what it says? Is that what your Bible says? No, it says he died for the ungodly. Oh! So my neighbor can be saved. I can be saved. He died for me, even when we were in weakness, when we were without strength. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Well, I maybe should make a little caveat. We have good neighbors. And so I didn't know. Didn't want to put them in an undue category there. But you know what? He died for everybody. For the worst of mankind. You find the worst person you can find in this world. You find a corrupt person, just a struggling soul. Just a corrupt individual, and you don't have to look too far in this world. But you know what? Jesus gave his life for them too. And you, in your sin. Yes, he died for the ungodly. Verse 7 says, "Scarcely for a righteous man will one die." I mean, some people would dare to lay down their life. And certainly many have, and we think of our military and those who've laid down their lives and gone into harm's way to defend this country, to defend our freedoms. It's a noble cause. Yes, it is. But God didn't lay down his life even for good people. There weren't any. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so the verse says here, verse 7, "Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated, God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Yes, God loved us in our creation. He loved us in your sin, not because of your sin, but in spite of it. He loved you, and he has loved us unto himself. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 tells us, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me," Jeremiah testifies, "saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God wants you near him. God's desire is for people to be saved, for all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is his desire. He cares for you. He tells us in his word how much he cares for us in many different illustrations. One of them in Matthew 10 is where he talks about sparrows and how God cares about even those little sparrows. And he says, in contrast, "Ye are of more value than many sparrows." I care for them. Can I not care for you? He does care for us. A good God. He not only loved us in our creation, creating us in his image. I am thankful that God made me. I am thankful. If God hadn't made me, I know I wouldn't exist. That's I know, a very basic statement, but I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be able to know love. You could say, well, there's a lot of trials you could have avoided. I suppose so. But I would have never enjoyed a single thing. But now, in the condition I'm in the situation I'm in, with God creating me in his image, with God loving me, with salvation being provided through Jesus, I have eternity waiting for me. a little trial today, a little burden today, a little suffering today. Oh, God is just teaching us and making heaven a little sweeter. Oh, we are going to enjoy that beautiful, sinless place. A wonderful place God is preparing. He is love. Oh, consider the whole picture. Yes, He will love you throughout eternity. I love the prayer of Jesus in John 17. Let's read a few words from it. The Gospel of John and chapter 17. As Jesus prays here, as He's coming towards the cross and towards the suffering, and He prays for His followers. John 17. Please look at verse 20. Jesus says here, He says, "Neither pray I for these alone." In other words, He says, I'm not just praying for my current disciples. I'm praying for those who will believe on Him in 2022. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all," that includes you if you're a believer. You're right in this passage. Jesus is praying for you. 2,000 years past, He prayed this prayer for you before He went to the cross. What did He pray? Verse 21, "that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee." Wow, that's pretty one. That's pretty one. One with the Father and with the Son. "That they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me," read it with me, "I have given them." Oh, friend, you have been given some glorious things. Glorious things God has given to us. That we should be called the sons of God. "I have given them the glory which Thou gavest Me. I have given them that they may be one even as We are one. I in them." That's Jesus is saying, "I in those who believe on Me." And He is. "And Thou in Me," the Father in the Son, "that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them, that the world may know that You, Father, have loved these followers of Mine," Jesus says. Look at that. End of verse 23, "that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me." Wow. You mean you and I are in that same loved place as Jesus enjoys? That is incredible. It's actually very credible. That is amazing. That is miraculous. That is matchless. That is matchless love. I've never seen love like that. Apart from God. Look at this, verse 24. "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am." You know, the joy of heaven is not going to be the streets of gold. Although, that's going to be pretty cool. Pretty amazing. Pretty beautiful. And I'm looking forward to it. But you know what? It's not just going to be the 12 different manner of fruit that we'll get to eat. It's not just all of those beautiful things God has prepared in the mansions. But my friend, it will be Jesus Himself. And this is what He prayed. "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am. That they may behold My glory," that they'll get to enjoy the glory in the presence of the Son. "The glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me," Jesus says, praying to His Father, "for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them and I in them. Love, matchless love. He will love you throughout eternity. Oh, for God so loved, the verse says. For God so loved the world that he gave. Oh, that he gave. That he gave. Is there any greater gift? This matchless love that God the Father would give his Son for the likes of you and me. 1 John 4 and verse 14 says, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 23 tells us that the Father, God the Father, made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, my friend, God has given a matchless gift of his Son that we could be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave. Is there any greater gift? There is not. Oh, friends, salvation is a free gift. He that believeth on the Son shall have everlasting life. Notice what it says in the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. That what? That whosoever, whosoever. This matchless love. Oh, friend, is there any greater invitation? Any greater invitation that whosoever? There is none excluded. Mr. Joe Biden can be saved. Yes, he can. It doesn't matter who it is. People can be saved. And yet, the road to hell has the most travelers. In this world, the road of sin and wickedness and the damnation coming has the most travelers. The broad road that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7. Jesus said many are on that road. The narrow road, the straight gate, through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said there be few. Few on that road. Oh, my friend, whosoever will may come. Romans 10 verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please turn over to 1 Timothy in your Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to look here at verse 13. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Paul is giving a little bit of a testimony, and he says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, he says, speaking of himself, he says, who was before a blasphemer. He said, I used to be a blasphemer of God's name, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Faith and love. Love. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save good people. No, came into the world to save the likes of us, sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. I am the greatest. Paul looked at himself and he said, I am the worst sinner. I am the worst sinner. I think John Newton had the similar idea when he wrote the great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. John Newton was a wicked man. He was a horrible abuser of mankind. He was at a filthy mouth. He had cursed God's name more than can be numbered, but by God alone. Amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. John Newton is in the presence of God. He's not in hell. His damnation was taken away because Jesus said, "Whosoever will may come." Yes, Paul says, "I was the chiefest of sinners." Verse 16, he describes how he obtained mercy. "I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul is basically saying that the people, the Jewish people of his day, they could see Saul of Tarsus as a changed man. And they'd be like, "Wow, anybody can be saved. Anybody can be saved." That's what he says. "I'm an example that even the chiefest of sinners can be saved." Look at 1 Timothy and chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Please notice here verse number 3. "For this is good." He's telling us to pray for kings and those in authority. He says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus," verse 6, "who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He gave himself a ransom for all. Oh, what a Savior. None excluded. Is there any greater invitation? And notice the future he's prepared for those who come. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is there any greater future? Oh, friend, you can inherit or earn all the money in the world, and I wouldn't trade it for knowing Jesus as my Savior. Oh, my friend, Jesus is better. The great love of God, the future. Oh, my friend, it's just a few years, and we who know Christ will be there with him. Well, I don't even know if it's years, to be frank with you. We may be there, one of us, two of us, all of us. We have no idea. I'm going to be faithful until he comes. I'm going to be faithful until he calls me home. This is an opportunity to serve God in this world, to walk with him and to live for him and bring others. He wants us here to be witnesses for him, to be the light of the world, to bring others to Jesus. Oh, friend, consider the words that Peter spoke in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Go to John, chapter 6. At this time, Jesus had been teaching some hard lessons. And quite frankly, a lot of those who were following him turned away. They turned away. They said, "These are hard sayings." John chapter 6, verse 66 is where I will pick up the reading. And it says, "From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him." Can you imagine? Jesus' lessons, his teaching was so hard that many said, I'm going back. I'm not following him anymore. And verse 67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12." So just his disciples, that circle. "He said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. What a glorious thing. What a glorious thing. To whom shall we go? There is no hope in dead religion. The only hope is in the Bible, in the truth of Jesus. There's no hope in Buddhism. There's no hope in Hinduism. There's no hope in a Muslim. The Muslim faith. There's no hope. And quite frankly, there's also no love. No love. These are some very harsh and unloving faiths. Quite hopeless. Oh, my friend, Peter says so appropriately, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, thank God. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you received that love? You can today. You can. You can call on him today, for whosoever will may come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Don't let this Easter season pass you by. Maybe someone's tuning in online. Do you know Christ? I didn't ask if you were religious. Maybe you've gone to church for 20 years. I do not know. But do you know Jesus as your Savior? You can trust him today. You can know him and know that you know, because Jesus gave his life for you. He paid the price on Calvary's cross for you. We'd love to hear about it if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. We'd love to help you if you still need to. We'd love to answer any questions and encourage you in that. Thank God for that matchless love, the matchless love of Jesus.